Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And last of all, just about this June, comes the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Now happy I am that you are giving our Lord such a beautiful solemn Mass this evening. You know how the Feast of the Sacred Heart came about. Our Lord himself specifically asked for it on this day, the day after the octave of the eighth day of Corpus Christi, as a way of making up for all of the irreverence, sacrilege, neglect, coldness on the part of people against him in the sacrament of his love. Back then, 17th century France, it was those who never or rarely went to Holy Communion. Today we could say for those communions of ours that are either unworthy or cold or forgetful or distracted, and for all of the rest of it, we make reparation. Reparation, that is the first R, and that's meant to stand out in the Sacred Heart devotion. There's another, well, it's an R sound anyways, wretched. That's us, that's you, and that's me too. Were you looking forward to the Sacred Heart Feast? I hope so. Our Lord has been looking forward to this feast day very, very much. This is how it came about. He chose one soul. Her name in religion, Sister Margaret Mary of the Pope. She's a visitation sister, again, 17th century France. And he said to her one day, because he spoke to her almost every day, "Do you know why I chose you? Why did you choose me, Lord? I chose you because you are the most wretched, worthless, and useless creature of all. That's why I chose you." And she humbly accepted. She knew it was true. So did the other nuns in the convent. They had no use for her. If she wasn't sick in bed, she was attempting to do something clumsily and would always be knocking things over and dropping them and never managed to finish the job well or on time, certainly not to the sister's satisfaction. And you know how we get with people sometimes. The other nuns, who were generally speaking, well, they were nuns, so they were pretty holy usually, but it brought out sort of a mean streak in them. They treated her sometimes quite cruelly. She was, of all things for a Frenchman, she was allergic to cheese, and eating cheese made her sick. Poor thing. And so she was supposed to be given what the French call a régime, a special diet. But very often, just out of orneriness or meanness, they would serve her a particularly, of course, the French, you know, they highly prize smelly cheese. That's, you know, we would say beyond its shelf date, but for them, it's just about good to eat. So they would serve something like that, and poor thing, she would eat it out of obedience. And then she'd have to go and be sick. And that was her life. She really was just a poor, poor thing in every sense. And our Lord chose her. She was the one. And the reason why you and I stop for a moment and think of it, the reality of your life right now, your character, your personality, your illnesses, your difficulties, your trials, your challenges, you and I have been chosen by the Sacred Heart, too. That's why we should be looking forward to this feast day and to hear his promise, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," which means you work hard and you're weighed down with all of your burdens, "and I will refresh you." The reality is that our Lord has chosen each one of us, particularly in this day and age, is it not so? He's chosen us in a marvelous fashion, and not for our talents, not for what we've done or have done in the past, nothing. He chose us for all of our faults and our illnesses and our weaknesses and our problems and the problems others make for us and we make for them and all the wretched tale of our sins. He chose us so that we could come and deposit all of that in the furnace of his love, and in an instant it's consumed. It's consumed. Our Lord promised, or they made one, you know, many, many promises. There are the promises, the 12 promises for those devoted to the Sacred Heart, and then one of them is the great promise of the first Fridays, which is why historically, traditionally, Catholics make the first Fridays. But he promises in particular, I was reading this today, three wonderful graces for those who are devoted to his heart. And the first of these is to do something about our sins. He promises mercy and forgiveness for all of our sins. And these promises, you have to sort of stop and take it in for a moment. That's what our Lord will. He'll forgive all of our sins. They don't need to weigh us down anymore, be a burden unto us. Nor does my neighbor's sins, someone in my family. No. No sins. They're all forgiven. If only we bring them to our Lord. Grace and mercy from his heart. And then he promises, it's a simple one, but don't we need it? I will help you in all of your needs. I, God, infinite God, I will help you. I'm concerned about you and all of your needs. I will help you. And then thirdly, it's a wonderful kind of a mystical promise. Our Lord promises to send the light of his grace and his love and his mercy to shine in our souls. That's a far, far distance, isn't it, from being weighed down or kicked down to the ground by others or by our own worries and problems, that our Lord will send a light to shine, not to shine on our sinfulness, like a spotlight in some kind of a concentration camp you're trying to escape, and no, you can't. No, no. It's a wonderful warm glow of love. It's the sanctuary lamp that he himself lights in our own souls. It is a light of grace and of mercy to shine in our souls in this life and forever in the next. Those are just three of the many, many promises, far more than 12, actually, that our Lord makes to those who are devoted to his heart. And so while this feast day has its origin and its impetus still today, especially today, to make it up to our Lord for all of the coldness and the offenses, the deliberate insults that are given to him today, we think of all the immorality today, the movement of atheism today, and the mockery in which the traditional or true church is held. It's reparation. But our Lord goes beyond that. He sees our wretchedness, and he wants to offer us, as our third R, rest. I will refresh you. I will rest you. Come to me. The greatest sorrow, if we may phrase it thus, that our Lord has is that we will not come to him in our sorrows and in our grief and in our sin. We act as though we could take care of it ourselves. We have to figure it out ourselves. Or somebody else, another human being to help. No. It's only our Lord that can. It's only our Lord. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. Well, that's the feast. And that's the devotion. And that's the beauty and the importance of it. God bless you for coming tonight. Keep up all year round your devotion at home, enthronement of the Sacred Heart, and here at church, novena, visits to the Blessed Sacrament, communions of reparation in your first Fridays all year round. Remember those three promises, forgiveness of sin, helping us in all of our needs, Sacred Heart of Jesus, help me. And then that wonderful warm light, the light of his love and his peace that he will light in your soul. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.